Let me put it to you like this. I would probably watch The Game again. Yes.
I'm Austin.
And I'm Cloud.
And this is...
Today's movie is Ghost Ship. Ghost Ship is a 2002 horror film directed by Steve Beck, starring Gabriel Byrne, Julianne Margulies, Ron Eldard, Desmond Harrington, Isaiah Washington, and Carl Urban. How about a plot synopsis?
People die on a ship in various grotesque ways. Some time passes, and some ocean salvagers get a request from some dude to be like, hey, we found a ship that's been out there and want to salvage it. They're like, hey, cool. They go out there. They find some gold and some ghosts. And then there's like sea magic. And everybody but one lady dies. But it doesn't really matter.
So is it sea magic?
I'm not really sure.
Understand like who this guy is. Like, it seems like he works for hell or something.
Well, I was waiting for them to be like some kind of Davy Jones locker shit.
No, they don't do anything.
And
that,
then it's just like
that specific.
It's just like, I was once a human and I work for this guy, and this guy wants souls, so I do stuff to get souls, and then when I get enough of them, I send them on.
Yeah, there's an awful lot of rules, though, it seems
like. And it's like, wait, what?
Because there's the controlling people to make themselves kill themselves if they're marked, but if not, they're hard to control, and he has to collect the souls, but it has to be a certain amount, or he can't take them. It's awfully specific for, normal underworld kind of stuff is just like, you die, your soul goes there, you know, wherever there might be.
Yeah.
It's not like you have to, he says, when I get a boat full, or she says when he gets a boat full, I guess, then he takes them. But until that time, they're all ghosts here at this place, and he can lose them, because I guess when they blow up the ship and he's out for a minute, they all kind of float up to the sky and seems like they get away. The music is vaguely happy, even though it's still kind of creepy and sad, but it's much more happy than any of the other music is.
Yeah.
So it seems like this is supposed to be okay, but it's kind of like the end of Nine. We're not really sure what exactly happened with all this like ghost spirit business that's floating around, but I feel like it's supposed to be good.
Well,
and he can leave too.
Yeah.
He leaves and goes to get people to the ship. Although, does he only need like five more people or whatever?
I don't really know.
Because they don't draw any other people there.
Well, like a lot of the a lot of what is said to the audience compared to what is done via the characters doesn't make any bloody sense.
No,
because the guy at the end, he's just like, I just wanted you to fix the boat. Then all you had to do was let him fix the boat, because, you know, it's like their ship. They were going to draw drag it. And
which
then
seems to accomplish his purpose fine. He needs to get the ship somewhere else where there are more people, because there's nobody left to kill on the boat, and boat's stuck in this current. And
well, see, that's not even the thing, because it's like, if you think about it, if all he wanted was the boat fixed, these people are going to go out there to fix the boat, but they want to salvage the boat, so they're obviously going to take it away, which is good, except for the fact that they're going to salvage it. So what do? You kill them, but you don't kill them until the boat is fixed.
Yeah. And that's he just goes about killing everyone.
Yeah, and so, like, okay, if you want to blow up the ship used for towing it, okay, because then that forces them to stay on the ship for them to fix it, and then that's fine, and then once it's fixed, then you can fucking kill them. But after that, it's just like, what are you doing? You're just killing them off one at a time, and they can't accomplish the goal because you're killing them off.
Yeah, because I guess it is... You know, it's not a haunted house because it's a boat, but it's kind of like a haunted boat story, and it follows a lot of the standard haunted house story beats, but it doesn't serve the purpose of the story they actually seem to be trying to tell.
Yes.
And it's kind of a shame because it starts out interesting, where there's, although I really don't understand that even after knowing the rest of it, because there's the you know, it's like the Titanic or something. It's all fancy pants people and like everything's happy and they're traveling across the ocean and it's in the past and stuff. And then everybody gets killed by this wire. Although it's not everybody. It's only the people on that one deck.
We see everybody get killed via a wire except for a little girl. And then when we...
But it seems like the rest of it happens later. Like people go about killing each other. Because they said something like 600 people were on the ship. We don't see 600 people in that one party deck.
We'll see what I think.
Because even the people down in the ballroom where the singing is actually happening... are not up there where that is. Those people are somewhere else.
Well, see, I'm thinking, like, because what we're shown is it's the people who work on the boat are killing everybody. It's not the passengers.
We see that later, yeah.
And then it's like, okay, well, okay.
So I guess that hand is just some random crew member hand.
Yeah. Because, like, that's, we just see the arm pull the lever. That's when the weight drops and this wire cuts everybody except it goes up to dodge this little girl, cutting the head.
Because she's not that short, and everyone else is not that much taller than the captain. So
yeah, like everybody gets cut through the belly.
And he gets cut through the, like, midway through the head.
Yeah. So she lives. Okay, that's what we're given.
But then she dies sometime later.
We'll see. Okay, even with that, like, we only see those people on the deck, and we don't know anybody else is on the boat. And then we get, like, visions, if you will, of people who are inside the boat, and it's the ballroom kind of thing, and there's the lady in the red dress, and she's singing, and you're kind of thinking, who are these people? Right? But they don't explain how these people die. But then we see the little girl's body hung.
Yeah.
Then you're like, okay, she was alone, maybe she ate all the food or something, and she killed herself because she was lonely. You know, because, like, that's one of the reasons why people would kill themselves is you're trapped on a boat. You can't steer the boat. You don't know what you're doing. You're stuck out there. You either starve, you die.
Well, it won't steer.
Yeah. Like, she's just screwed. Like, okay, I can accept that. It's sad. And it gives us some sympathy towards her.
I don't understand how her, like, ghost vision, like, mind meld power thing works.
Yeah, that's
because,
like,
she's
what?
Just like, here, Julianne Margulies, here's everything that happened, including lots of events I was not present for, so I could not have seen, even if I could, like, share memories with you or something. So I don't understand the ghost powers here.
Yeah.
I don't understand how ghosts touch things, because sometimes they touch things, other times they don't touch things, and it's not like they get a ghost version of that thing when they touch it or something, because sometimes they will hand something to somebody else. The captain pours actual whiskey for the other captain.
Well, I wonder if it's the ghost can touch things if they're the ones touching it, compared to if something was to just touch them. Because whenever, like... The only time we really see it is whenever
it
was the necklace thing. And so she sticks her hand out and it's put on her. It's not like her. It's not
but
like
she wants
picking
to touch it. So it's just like there's someone else touching this. The ghost can't touch it.
I don't know. Maybe.
Except that's not true because Francesca takes the champagne bottle out of the black guy's hand.
Yeah.
So that's not the rules either. And I'll see what the rules are. Apparently, the website Coming Soon, which is a movie news website, has named the opening scene, the everybody gets cut in half scene, as one of the great horror film scenes in history. It's pretty good. I mean, this is 2002, so this is 2 years after Final Destination, so you can already see the influence happening, because I don't know if you would have seen that kind of, like, mechanism and everybody... Like, we see everybody fall apart and stuff before that.
It definitely does stand out with that kind of creativeness.
They really overplay it though, even still, I think, because there's like a hand like reaches over here and there's a guy like trying to grab his legs. It's like these people live a long time, just like in half, and parts that aren't connected to anything else continue to move.
That's not how this works.
No. It really does get like, it goes from being like, oh, this could be something, to this is really mediocre, and then to this is real dumb.
Yeah,
like really fast, in pretty fast progression. And because of the dumbness, mostly removes the scariness from it, which actually this is, I think, the first time that we, like the first one of these that we've done that only says horror.
Wow.
That there's nothing else. That might, maybe that's not true, but I feel like there were other ones, because like Halloween was also a mystery, wasn't it? I think, and maybe Chainsaw Massacre was just a horror movie. Let's see. I don't want the new one. I want the old one. No, it was just a horror film. Okay, so it's not the first one, but it's one of just a couple of them, or just a few, because there's usually something else amended to it. And this did come out on the weekend leading into Halloween. It was actually the 25th, but it says Halloween on the poster, so it was pushed very much as a horror movie in the traditional style. Now that doesn't matter anymore, and a lot of times we get horror movies in like February or sometime. They push them around and kind of spread them out, so it's not everything is all packed into the fall like it kind of used to be. We've talked about people not doing their real accents before when there's no reason for them not to.
Yeah.
Why is Carl Urban not Australian in this?
I don't know.
There's no reason for him not to be. He's just on the crew of this ship. Everybody is like various people from various places. Why is he doing an American voice? There's no reason for it. Like, why? Why does he have to do a fake voice? I don't understand.
I cannot even begin.
There are things, like, I have no idea also what's real and what's not, because they're eating what is apparently the best ever canned food for a moment, and then it turns into cans of, like, maggots or mealworms or something.
Yeah.
And so is he, like, making them see something that's not there, or the other ghost making them see something that's not there?
Yeah, I can.
I don't really
know
why, because all it does is scare them. It doesn't make them kill themselves, and it doesn't actually kill them because it's poison or something. The only time that really happens is Francesca kills the black guy because she makes him walk off an elevator shaft.
I think that's more his fault for being intoxicated.
Well, it is, but she's leading him to do it, because everybody, like the little girl says, I'm not like the rest of them, because the rest of them have decided we can't stop being ghosts until there's enough of us dead here. So we'll just work to kill everyone else. No, we don't. But that's how everybody else is acting. Like, we don't want to be ghosts anymore. We're going to kill as many people as we can to help the quota get met, so that we can just stop living in this like circle thing, because it's almost kind of like a Tower of Terror sort of thing, where they're not exactly reliving the party, but it seems like they can sort of, because he's in the ballroom and the whole, like, everybody is there and she's there and she's singing and stuff. And I don't know if that's just because they can make it happen to trick people, or if it's actually happening to them, because there are elements early where it seems like ghost world is bleeding into real world. Like, there's a cigarette over here, there's a bottle of whiskey that couldn't possibly have been opened before, and they get like little glimpses of stuff. He can't, like, he thinks he hears the singing, but he doesn't actually see anything yet.
Yeah,
so there's like this bleed through happening, but there's not really any explanation for it or how it works. And I don't know if that's them being like, we'll get them scared, and maybe they'll do stupid things if they're scared. They'll be easier to deal with if they're not thinking clearly. And then there's this whole marking thing that I don't really understand.
The marking was supposed to be all the people who were sinners that the guy can control.
Yeah.
That's just the part of that's the thing. He can control the ghosts. He can make them do what he wants because now that they're ghosts and they're marked.
But he does it to live people too, doesn't he?
No.
Doesn't he do it to like... I don't remember which one it was now. I guess not. They also do a lot of looking directly at welding with no protection,
yeah,
which was concerning. Like, don't look directly at welding.
Yeah, that's not good.
Like the opening, like the good opening is the opening, but then we get the second opening that's the modern period opening. And you remember Abduction, the Taylor Lautner movie Abduction?
Mm-hmm.
Where it seems like they felt a need to show right away that he's capable of being extreme or something, yeah, so that we believe he's an action hero later, even though he's just a regular guy.
Yeah.
Although his dad makes him like practice fighting and stuff because they're actually spies secretly. And so like the opening of that movie is he's like holding on to the hood of a car while they speed towards this party and everybody's just like, woo, like at each other the whole time, and they're driving crazy and he's sliding back and forth, and it's just like, let's prove he's extreme right away because we know you don't think Taylor Lautner is extreme. And the beginning of this feels like that, where even though their extremeness we're never going to need,
yeah,
it's just they're salvaging this ship and it's taking on water and they're like, we're gonna dump it, it's gonna blow the engines. He actually comes really close to saying, I'm giving it all she's got. Like, there's like two words different that make it not quite. And then they're just like, nah, and they dive off the side and they leave their radios and they jump in the water and look directly at the welding and fix the thing. And the music is all extreme. But
in actuality, it's not extreme. If you muted it and watched it, it just looked like fast editing of people doing a normal job.
Yeah.
That's all.
But it's fast editing and everyone's yelling and the music is like fast and heavy and stuff. And so it's trying to convince us that these people are extreme.
They are not.
Like the cap on it is they do it and everybody like high fives or something. And then he dumps the pile of money on the table in the bar.
Yeah.
Because they've very quickly sold the thing they salvaged, I guess. Because There's no evident passage of time. And it is like, before it stops being scary because it just gets dumb, it is a little creepy when they're coming towards the boat.
Yeah.
And it's going in and out, like they see it on the radar and then it's not there, and then they see it again and then it's not there on the radar, and then suddenly it's there and they almost crash the boat into it. That works pretty well.
Let me ask you this. What point in the movie did it just stop being scary for you? Like, completely, where you're just like, I'm done.
When, like, the blood started seeping out of the holes in the pool. Probably somewhere in that time.
Okay.
Because just when they're walking around exploring and things are, like, it looks like it's been underwater even though it hasn't. And it's all dark and making creepy sounds when they touch stuff. And you see something over there, maybe, but maybe you don't. Like, that stuff is pretty good. And then when she just lets go of the ladder and I guess her head bleeds into the pool. She doesn't ever seem wounded, or that's concerning if your head is bleeding. And then we never see it. But then she gets up and there's a little bit of blood there, and then it goes down into the hole. And then like it starts coming out the rest of the holes. And I'm like, what is this? And then it fills up super fast for the amount of holes that are actually in it. And then there's like bodies in it and stuff,
which would also not work, because if the pool was filled with water and people were shooting into it, the bullets would just kind of like burst upon impact.
Well, they get a little bit down. It's not that if they're just laying on the surface, you could probably shoot them.
I'm talking about the walls inside the pool.
Oh, the walls. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm not talking about shooting the people. I'm talking about like the bullets going through the people and then penetrating the walls. Now, I did think that it was kind of scary, but it didn't serve a purpose. Because it's like, if she was to climb out, not because the little girl was there, not because the one dude was there, but just she wakes up, she starts to climb out, and then she's like digging through some stuff that's nearby, and then it starts filling up. And then she looks and she starts getting panicked, and then you see like arms coming out. That'd be scary as shit.
But it doesn't happen. Nobody sees
it. Yeah.
It happens for no one. It happens for us.
It didn't even happen for us.
And anything that happens for us is
bogus.
Bad. Yeah.
Yes.
It's bogus. If it happens for us, it's bogus. If it's like, oh, look over there in the background where the characters didn't see it, and then they look over there and it's gone, that was only for us.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't for them. And so it's fake. It breaks the immersion.
And so while it could have been cool and used for something extreme, it was a waste.
It was a waste.
You wasted your budget on that. Congratulations. You played yourself.
Yeah, which they only spent, like, it only cost $20 million to make this, surprisingly, because it's a water movie, which is usually expensive, and, like, they have models of the ships and... all of these period costumes and
that's
stuff
crazy.
And like the two, not probably, I don't know how they actually did it. Probably they shot the old times stuff on the same sets and then came in and dirtied everything up for the present time thing. But even that's still a lot of time between. So it's not, it doesn't look as cheap as that, but it apparently was. It made 68 million, so they made some money at least, even though it was largely hated by everyone. It does also have a really terrible poster tagline, which is "Sea Evil," but it's S-E-A, like the ocean.
That's
sea.
Tough.
It's really dumb. So it's just like it's the bow of the ship, and then like the bottom half of it is like there's a skull superimposed on it, and then up in the sky it says "Sea Evil."
Now I kind of do like the ship with the skull on it, but granted I have a thing for, you know, bones, so I can't really say anything about it, but you know.
It's better than the stupid skull business on the Final
Destination
poster.
Yeah, that was not good.
And now there is no alternate of just the front of the ship without the skulls, like there
like
is
a
of the final
face on it.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say it stopped being scary, or just in general, around when what's his face is drunk and is being chased around by, the guy who died in the explosion fixing the engine.
Yeah.
I would say, like, around that point, it ended up being just more obnoxious than anything.
He's really, really not nice to his tools. I know he's angry and frustrated because he's been having to fix the engines without the stuff he needs to fix the engines. But then he's just, like, just picking up his tools off the deck and just throwing them at the toolbox just over and over. And they're not like they don't even really fit in the toolbox anymore. He's just throwing tools on top of tools, and like you should be nice to your tools. Like you're gonna need them later. I mean, he doesn't because they blow up. But he doesn't know that. So
like, what happens when you need to find that the 3/5 and you can't find it?
Yeah. Also, there's this great like pan over of all of their equipment after they've taken it over to the ship, and there's just a case of C4 that's just clearly labeled, and it's like, oh, it's not gonna be important later. We'll never see that C4 again.
I'm surprised no one saved the CD player.
The CD player.
Yeah, like whenever, because okay, so whenever they get on the boat and they're going to head towards the ship. And the dude who's doing the navigating.
Oh yeah, he's listening to the heavy music.
He just drops the CD into the CD player, and it's not even built into anything. It's just like a portable little CD player that's just there, connected to the speakers inside the room. And I'm just like, hey, CDs, something that's kind of old-ish now.
Kind of
like
yeah.
Now, people just whip their phone out and be like, oh, I'm gonna get on Spotify. I'm like, nope, these people had CDs.
Yeah, well. There's no internet out in the ocean.
Yeah.
So.
Satellite internet.
Well, I got a satellite phone. I got 4G out here.
Shut up. Shut up with you and your damn phone. Do 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 do.
That's something. I guess it would be too short range, but there's this was 62. They've got a radio. of some kind on the ship, the old ship.
Yeah.
But there's never any, like, maybe we could fix the radio and use that to call the Coast Guard or whatever.
I'm sure none of them know how to do that.
Well, maybe not, but they seem to think they can fix other stuff.
I want to know how they fix the rotor.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because that just they just magically just cut scene.
They
fixed
it during
fixed.
The montage.
It was dumb. Like, what? Explain this. I get, like, you've shown me your welding skills, so you've shown me the hole, and I know you can weld over it. Explain the rotor to me.
Yeah, I mean, like, they brought a lot of steel plating with them that on their very small salvage boat. I guess they do that sometimes anyway. They have to fix something in order to deal with it, but.
Oh, one. Okay. I got to go back to the pool thing. It was a comment I forgot to make. Okay. So the lady falls because the little girl shows up, right?
Uh-huh.
And she passes out, and we don't know how much time has passed. She gets up. There's blood there. Serves no real purpose. Whatever. But she wakes up, and the dude is just standing there.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's kind of creepy just because of how it's done. But it does help make sense now, since we know he's part of, like, the evil spirit stuff that's capturing the souls.
Yeah.
Otherwise, whenever we thought he was just a normal person, like, that made it weirder.
Yeah.
You're like, dude, why? What are you just? You're just standing there. You're not walking into frame. You're not walking up to it. You're just standing there, like, you a creeper or something.
Mm-hmm.
So okay, so there was that.
Well, he is a creeper.
I wanted to get that out of the way.
So is he pretending to be seasick on the way to the ship then, so that he
probably
seems more like a real person, or
probably
can, like, whatever, what does he call himself? A salvager of souls, which is kind of, I guess, supposed to be like, oh, he's a salvager, they're salvagers, but he's not salvaging souls.
No.
He's collecting them for somebody else, like, forcefully.
Yeah.
So it's like,
that's theft.
Well, yeah, it is. It's like how the supposed test in The Box. It's the movie from several years ago where there's, like, there's a box with a button on it.
Don't watch it.
Yeah, don't watch it. It's not good. It seems like it might be, and you're like, oh, it's based on a Richard Matheson story. Yeah, it's not good. It's not real good. Bad. It's a it's an entire waste of time.
Like, I give that one a one.
Has some good cinematography in it. That's it, and not good enough to make it worth the time.
Let me put it to you like this. I would probably watch The Game again.
Mm,
yes.
I don't know. I don't like either one of those things. I mean, if this is a would you rather, I'm not sure what the answer is. I think it would depend on which one is shorter. But, like, in The Box, there's supposedly this test. Like, he gives you the box, and, like, you, if you press the button, then you get $1 million, but someone who you don't know somewhere will die. And then later on, we find out, like, they're aliens and they're doing this morality test on humans, supposedly, to figure out what their, I don't even know, just, like, mental probing or something, weird alien stuff.
One, where did they get $1 million? And two, why would they care?
Well, I don't know any of that. But the problem is that it's not even a real test.
No.
Because the next person, like, you get the box. And you press the button because he forces you to. He manipulates things. He makes you lose your job. He makes, like, bad stuff happen to you in order for you to need the money and to not care about the someone you don't know who will die.
Therefore, not a test.
And then, no, it's worse than that, because that already biases the test, at least. It changes the rules of the test. But then it's not a test at all, because the person who dies is you from the next person who pushes the button. And it has to happen that way. So, like, you push the button, and the person who had it before you is the person who dies. So, or someone, like, related to, like, it's the husband or the wife or the kid of the family or something. Like, so the someone in the group of people that had the box last will die. And so there's no, like, he makes it, the test is constructed in such a way that you always lose the test, so they're not actually learning anything.
Yeah.
They're just proving that if you make someone do something where they have no other choice, then they won't have any other choice. So mm-hmm. it proves nothing. And he's doing the same thing here. He's like, I collect people, you know, it's like sin and whatever. And it's like, but you're forcing people to die. Like, you're cheating and making people die. And you're making them do bad stuff to other people
mm-hmm.
to make them die. Because he makes the, like, the crew, like, poisons the rest of the passengers or goes around, like, knifing people or whatever. And so it's not like he collects souls that legitimately died. He's like, he's tipping the scale. And it's not in, like, a Devil Went Down to Georgia kind of way where you get a choice and it's fair. It's just he's like, no, I'm just going to, like, run around killing people so then I have souls to collect. And it seems like really significant afterlife cheating. And I don't see how it's...
I thought it was going to be a bit more interesting because, like, when they find the gold, I was thinking it was going to be more towards the line, like, the gold belonged to the ghost and the ghost don't want him to take the gold.
Or it's cursed gold or something.
No,
it's like,
cursed gold is bullshit. Well, I get tired of seeing it.
It is.
Like,
but as bogus as the rest of it is, it wouldn't have been a surprise because it's all filed. He says, also, the gold is bogus because he says it's filed down, the markings are filed down. It's not because it's perfect and shiny and shaped the way a gold bar is. It's not all rough and stuff like somebody tried to take the markings off of Nazi gold or something. It looks like it's been melted down, poured into totally smooth molds, which don't exist.
No.
And also, it doesn't weigh anything.
They're curved molds as well. Like, they're not flat.
Yeah, it doesn't
straight.
Have the hard edge. Yeah, which like, I don't know
all,
why you're
doing.
They're
all curved.
And it's not heavy enough. No. Like, they're just like these, they just kind of, he's tossing one back and forth. Like, a piece of gold that size weighs like 20 something pounds. Like,
yes.
Is heavy.
It's, yes.
If you put a gold bar down on the table, you cannot pick it up because of the way the edges are sloped. You have to slide it off the edge of the table. And then, like, it has a lot of weight to it. And they're just throwing it around like it's not a big deal. And then you pick up, like, there's no way they could pick up those chests full of gold.
Yeah, you want like real gold physics? You go watch The Italian Job.
Uh-huh.
Because they're like, oh yeah, this is going to be so incredibly heavy. We're going to use its weight to help us with this.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like, you're just watching, like, some of the dudes carry around, like, the larger bricks. And, like, you can just see them hold it with both hands and struggling to walk because they're so heavy.
Yeah.
And, like, these are, like, half those size. And they're just, no, like, those are still going to be heavy as shit.
And they just have these crates of them with, like, rope handles. And they just pick them up. And they kind of act like the crates are heavy, but they would be so heavy. Like, that rope would snap.
Yeah.
Like, the bottom is out of that crate.
Yeah.
Like, I understand, you know, like, you see pirate movies or whatever, they just carry around chests of gold, but it's not a salt. I mean, it's like coins and like there's
jewels,
airspace in
stuff,
there.
Yeah.
And so it's not. And really, like, you would have never had a pirate chest that was like
full.
Well, not full. No, I mean, you might have had a pirate chest that was full, but they weren't that big. Like, an actual pirate chest is like maybe like 18 inches square or something. It's not a big chest. It's not like this giant thing that, like, the way that the scale is in like aquarium ornaments where you have, there's a chest and then there's a skeleton with a pirate hat on it leaning against the chest, and it's like he's leaning against a refrigerator laid on its side. Like, you could nobody could pick that up.
No. Unless it was like empty or filled with bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, even just a chest that size with the thick wood sides that it would have had would be heavy, empty, and so you would never make a chest that big.
Because remember, they had to use actual wood, not that particle board shit.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, if you've seen a Western where someone's going to rob the stage and they have the, like, the Western Union box with the Federal Reserve gold in it, they're not that big.
No.
They're really small, and then they're heavy. I mean, they're also, like, they have iron plating on the outside and stuff, but they're not very big. You can't carry around a lot of physical, like, gold or jewels aren't that heavy, I guess. But no. If you had, like, a whole chest of diamonds, it weighs something, I guess. But
yeah.
Not as much as, like, a solid piece of gold or a whole chest full of gold.
It's ridiculous.
So,
but he uses the gold as, like a, here, I'm going to test your greed. And it doesn't really pan off to be anything. It's just like everywhere I go, I take this gold because there's going to be someone who wants the gold and I'll use it to trick them into doing this. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because I set the game up in such a way that they're going to be stuck here regardless of the gold. And there's no payoff. There's no, like, oh, we managed to escape and we destroyed the ship and we just so happen to accidentally have like two or three bars that like were exploded our direction or something. Like, no, like the gold has no value in the story other than, hey, look, gold.
Yeah.
Because that's what we see is we see in the past with the like the vision thing.
It was on the other ship
with the dude, and then they put it in there, and then supposedly the dude took all of the crew and had the crew kill all of the passengers, and then there was like a portion of the crew that killed the other crew.
Yeah.
And then there was the dude who was gonna hit off with the chick in the car, and he kills everybody else, so the chick kills him, and then he kills the chick with the hook.
Yeah.
So it's like this big domino effect.
That was kind of a brutal image.
Of her just hanging there with the hook.
Well, even just like he kind of throws the hook across and she like hooks onto it. And you don't really see it, you more hear it. And it kind of goes across the screen really quick. But then eventually they do show her just kind of hanging from the side of her jaw. Which I'm not, I don't know. Well, I guess your head would support that. But it's probably the more... one of the more like visually violent deaths, because I guess that everybody falls in half at the beginning kind of is.
Mm-hmm.
But the actual like it happening doesn't look like anything because it just goes so fast.
I would say that the everybody being cut in half is gory. Her death is violent.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Because like we have a lot of impact on her specifically.
Yeah.
Everybody else, it's like it's so quick that we don't really see the death as much as we see the gore from the death.
Yeah. And they don't know it's happened at first. It's like a cartoon where you run off a cliff and you don't realize that there's nothing under you until you look down. It's just, it goes through them and they're all cut in half. And then they kind of look at each other and then they look down
like,
and then everybody starts to like slide apart. It's not until they realize they're in half that they're actually in half.
Your arm's gone. Looks down, arm's missing. Oh, shit, goes to pick it up, and then, like, the rest of them just fall off.
Yeah.
There's just... like, I kind of feel like this is the 2002 version of The Quiet Place. A Quiet Place.
A Quiet Place.
Because it's like, I feel there was so much potential in being really horrifying and having a great story, and then they just went and shat all over it. They just had a bucket, and the whole team just shat in the bucket, and they stuck their hands in it and rubbed it all over the movie, and it's just like, but what is this? This had so much potential to be amazing. And then you were like, oh, well, we're going to do this shitty part. We're going to do that shitty part. And then, like, this whole portion doesn't even matter. We're just going to have that. Oh, here's you some tits. This guy fell off because he's drunk. This guy's drunk and seeing ghosts. It's like, there's just so much that is pointless. It doesn't help the story. Even when the captain, and he attacks the woman. And then they end up throwing him into the aquarium, and then they close it. Why? Because it's not even the dude. It's the blonde guy that works with him. He's the one that closes it. Why close it? Why?
I mean, I don't think he can climb up the like smooth glass side
exactly.
of it. So.
And then it's closed. How did it fill up with water?
Ghost water.
How? Where did it come from? Did it come from the bottom? Like,
it came from where the blood did in the like holes. It's like it's all magic and bogus. Like it doesn't come from anywhere.
The thing is, at least the holes were like, oh yeah, like it's gonna come from something that we doesn't know exists. But it's like,
I mean, I guess they had to have some way to put water in the aquarium. But
if was there like a drain vent at the bottom of it that it seeped up through?
Probably,
that'd be kind of fine. But
we
it's
just don't
like,
see. We come back and it's full and he's dead.
There's no point in closing it. And so he had a death that we didn't even get to see on camera. And it's a waste and could have been better. Followed up with the ending of the movie was garbage. The ending killed it for me worse than anything else in the movie. Mm-hmm. Because
it's not over.
Yeah.
Or
there was a rule. And they broke it. Fuck them. Because they go through this whole thing where it's like, I have to collect souls. I have to meet a quota. My boss isn't happy. Oh, if you destroy the boat, then all the souls are freed. But obviously not, because he needs a boat fixed. And now there is no boat. So he's going to magically appear with the crew that was killed but should have been released to steal another bowl with the gold that doesn't seem to... How?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because at this point, I'm like, okay, the gold's not real. It's ghost gold. Okay, okay, okay. Him and the ghost gold can exist. That's fine. But you have all of these other souls released. They're just as sinful as everyone else. So why is it this crew is still there?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, like, if you wanted a better ending, you could have it with some closure. Where she's looking out and she thinks she sees her crew, like, looking at her. Maybe the captain waves or something. And then, you know, like, she kind of smiles, closes her eyes, and then, like, the door closes, and then that's the end. You know, yeah, like, a little bit of closure, understanding that this, she went through all of this, she lost her family, but at least they're not trapped on the boat anymore. There you go, it's nice, it's happy, you had your bullshit horror, there's some closure, the movie can end because you're obviously not making a sequel, because look how this movie turned out.
Well, yeah, I don't think, I mean, you couldn't have made a sequel anyway, because it would be exactly the same movie, just on a different boat.
Yeah.
And without the passage of time. So there couldn't have been any expectation that it's going to be Ghost Ship 2. And so they just do it because there is this whole period of time. They still do it sometimes now, but they used to do it a lot more. And then before that, they didn't do it. Yeah. Because you used to have the end.
It's at
done. The end of a movie. Like, it's would over. Come up on a title card. It's like, that's the end. And maybe we'd be happy, maybe it wouldn't. But it was like, that's the end. It's closed. We told a story and it's over. And then they started doing this, like, if we leave you out in the open, then somehow it contributes to the uncomfortableness of it or something. But all it really does is make you angry and make you hate everything that came before, even if it was good.
Yeah.
It just bogusizes everything that came before it because it was all for nothing. Because you go through all of this trauma and all of this difficulty and people take heroic actions and some of the people survive, or maybe one of the people survives. And then you get this, like, supposed happy, almost closure moment, and then they smear all over that too, and they're just like, oh no, nope, 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 and then it's, now sometimes it does lead to something, because also around the same time we were getting the Resident Evil movies were starting to exist.
Yeah.
And in the first Resident Evil movie, she comes at the end, she comes out of the hospital and everything else has been, like, the virus has gotten out. Yeah. And everything else is dead.
But see,
and that leads directly into two. But
see, that's the thing, is even if they never made a two, what happened outside of the house didn't have any effect on what happened inside the house. Like, they weren't connected directly for the storytelling purposes. And that's the thing. It's kind of like with the Final Destination movies. That death has come for them. Death is still going to exist. You can't destroy death. So at the end of the movie, death is still going to be there, and we can accept that.
And usually they do the "we're going to kill one last person" thing unexpectedly. But see, usually, like, not everyone. Usually someone still makes it.
Yeah, so it's like even though it doesn't end in a closeful manner where it can be left open, it's okay. Let me get some proper words to explain this. If you want to leave it open, it needs to be left open from sources not contributing or are not involved within the plot of the story itself. So, like, the guy, like, they
at least follow the rules, whatever, like, the rules are.
Like, they didn't, like, the movie wasn't about killing the soul collector guy. That wasn't about
no,
the movie.
No, it was just trying to not die.
Exactly.
Which I guess we still get. She doesn't die.
But it doesn't follow the rules for any of the rest of it. But if they had him where he was just appeared on their old boat or something, then I would be more okay with that, because it's like, okay, he can't die, but all of his souls were released, so we get to see him start off with something new, and it just so happens to be that it was their boat that's not blown up anymore, because ghost boats or whatever. A little something like that, where it's like, okay, we're going to twist it, but we know he is still alive. We're just not disrupting anything else with it.
Well, I think even as weak as it otherwise might have been, if it was he's not the special one, he's just also trapped there too, and the gold is the thing that's the problem, you know, whether it's cursed gold or whether there's something else about it, that it's the thing that the evil is tied to, then you can have her see if she knows by this point for from whatever means earlier that the gold is the problem. Then she sees them loading the gold, and that's the thing that scares her, because she knows that the gold, like, something bad is going to happen,
and it's,
it's going to follow the gold.
Yeah, it's people she doesn't know.
It's the having him appear again after he's been exploded that's the problem. Although, you know, he's a collect, you know, he's he's from hell or whatever, so it makes sense he doesn't blow up. But
no, my thing is, it's not about him, it's about the rest of the crew.
Yeah, the crew, I guess.
As if they would have removed the crew and replaced it with random people, I think that would have been okay.
Yeah, because it was the crew of the new ship.
Yeah.
Not the old crew.
Yeah.
Because he didn't have, it's not, I don't think he brought that crew with him from hell. There's no implication of that any time earlier.
Exactly. Well, because the other ship that they rescued him from, he was by himself.
Yeah. So, now, maybe they've become soul collectors too, because he says he was made a soul collector because like a life of sin. And so they're, like, they killed so many people of the other people on the ship that then now they have a lot of sin to make up for, too. So they all became collectors. I don't know.
They killed no one. These are just random people who are together who salvage ships for money. Like, even the people on the boat, if they were to have killed any of them, they couldn't have died because they're ghosts anyways.
Yeah, well, like they sort of, I guess they kind of didn't let each other not get killed, so maybe there's some, like, roundabout responsibility, I don't know.
That sounds kind of weak to me.
Well, the whole thing is weak.
Yeah.
It's weak anyway. I'm not making it more weak. I'm just trying to explain, and it just remains weak.
At least it looks nice.
There's nothing anyone can do. Yeah, it looked pretty nice. So how do we feel about stars? Also, why does this music make me think of, like, Asian stuff?
I was thinking more on the lines of, like, Native Americans, kind of.
Like that, yeah.
Like, you're gonna see some guy, like, on the hill, where, like, the crescent of the hill kind of goes into the sky, and he's just out there by himself, and
it's
like dusk, and eagle flies over, some shit like that.
Like the end of his, like, headband is flapping in the wind or something. Yeah. You can see it in silhouette. Yeah.
I'm gonna give it three. I'm gonna give it three
really?
Because there's things in it I really do like.
Well, yeah.
And that's kind of that's why I made the comment. It's like a quiet place, but on a ship. Because there was so much potential, and there are things in it I do like. I like the effects.
We're going to get so much flack for having this be, like, even associated with the level of quality of A Quiet Place, the way you keep saying it.
Well, no, it's not about the quality of what is there. It's about the quality that could have been there. Because, like, there's just stuff that they could have done instead, and it would have been amazing, and they were like, nah, bro, like, it's good enough. And it wasn't. But I'm gonna give it three, just because there was enough about it that I enjoyed, that I didn't get pissed while watching it as much as I just got angry afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, I got angry afterwards, but I didn't care that much after a certain point, so it was like, okay. And it's not long; it's an hour and a half.
Yeah,
but it feels long. Like I just rewatched the first Godfather movie the day before. Or no, earlier the same day, I think. It was either earlier that same day or the day before. No, it was the day before. And, you know, it's 3 hours long. And this felt in watching it as if it went by much, much slower. Like, what this felt like was like we got halfway through this and I'm already, like, 2 hours through... through The Godfather, just in the way that it moves.
Yeah.
And because it's at least things to care about. And I do enjoy the early 2000s-ness feeling of it. Even the dumb extremeness of the beginning with the in the modern time. I do kind of like the way it's anchored in this period of time. Not because it looks, you can tell where they're in because there's no cars or anything, but just the way the music is and the way that it's shot. Like, this is it's produced by Joel Silver, who produced much of the of the early 2000s, and also things going back into the 80s. But he's sort of it. This does both of them a disservice to describe it this way. But he's kind of the other Jerry Bruckheimer. Like, he doesn't make the same kind of movies, but he makes a kind of movies, and he was a producer on so many movies. Of varying types. Like, it's not everything is like Ghost Ship, but it is sort of recognizable as like, okay, I can believe that this is a Joel Silver, you know, Village Roadshow Pictures movie. It is also curiously also produced by Bob Zemeckis, which I don't really understand, but because it's not even like it's Universal or something. I don't know. I don't know about that at all.
Some company I'd never heard of until that day.
Well, no, it's Warner Brothers is the distribution. It's Village Roadshow, which is commonplace, and then Dark Castle, which is much less commonplace. And
Dark Castle, that's the one that, strangely enough, I've never heard of.
Oh, it's Joel Silver's company.
Oh.
Oh, well, it's founded by Joel Silver and Bob Zemeckis, so that's why. And also, I feel like doesn't exist anymore. Let's see. No. Oh, they were one of the production companies on Suburbicon, the George Clooney, Matt Damon movie from last year that was apparently terrible, but I didn't get to see.
Wait, what? What was the movie?
It's called Suburbicon. It's like, it's the 60s, like, spies in the neighborhood and, like, everybody starts getting killed or something. It's, like, half of it was written by the Coen brothers and the other half was written by George Clooney. And it was directed by George Clooney, and according to like everybody, it feels like two very different movies like stapled together, and neither of them are actually that good. So you just get two not very good movies that are now a mess because they're now one movie, and it's like supposed to be in that what you kind of expect from recent Coen brothers. Like, it's kind of funny, but kind of serious, and but mostly like goofy and extreme situationally, and none of it worked apparently. I didn't see it. Like, my theater didn't get it because I feel like it was a Lionsgate movie also, and they didn't like us, it seemed like. Oh no, it's not Lionsgate. I don't know why we didn't get it then. It was Paramount. They also produced Getaway, which is that Selena Gomez chase movie with the Shelby Mustang that's really not good. So they are still making things, unfortunately. Unfortunate things, unfortunately.
Oh.
I don't... Wait. What?
No, go ahead.
Okay. I haven't given stars yet. Just been rambling around. I don't think I can give it 3. Because, like, I do enjoy things about it. I do agree about the potential of it. But so much of the potential is missed, and then the end is so bogus that I think it knocks it down to 2. So, yay, non-agreement, I guess.
Yeah, whatever. The little girl being hung.
Yeah.
We see the crew pick her up and drag her off. Why take her to her room, and why hang her?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know why anything.
I mean, because that's this. I like the idea of her hanging herself more because it makes me feel.
Yeah, because she was the last one alive.
Yeah, it makes me feel like extra sympathetic because, like, what if she had been, like, hiding and everybody killed each other and then no one really noticed?
Yeah, that would be interesting.
And then it'd be like, oh, wow, you know, like the dude collecting all the souls kind of missed her, I guess, because she has no sin. But then she ended up having to kill herself because horror or something. Uh-huh. And I know, like, the Catholic Church is like, ah, suicide, straight to hell. Meh. Yeah.
So,
but
see, all of that works so much better than what we got. Yeah. Like, that would be interesting. That would be complicated.
But. Yeah, and then but it's one of those things where it's like you just had two guys who just kind of picked her up by the arm, shoulders, and drug her off to her room and then hung,
which also means she's not the last one to die.
What?
So that means things happened after she was not even alive anymore.
Yeah,
although I guess that means now she's a ghost, so maybe she can walk around watching the other things that she wasn't present for. but she saw a bunch of stuff while she was still alive. So, you know, it doesn't help that.
I didn't mind that so much because I kind of felt that was more of ghost scenes trapped on a boat kind of thing, where it's just like, I can kind of show you this because we're still connected. Like, nothing passed away. Nothing's moved on. So it's all still on the boat. You know, weird spirit energy shit or whatever. So, like, that didn't bother me. That didn't bother me. It was a nice little way of storytelling. And then everybody happening to find out it's him all at the same time, thanks to editing.
Yeah.
Are you saying this is the guy you saved? Dead Captain Ghost nods head while smiling.
Yeah.
What? Fuck it, pass the brandy.
Whiskey.
Bourbon.
I don't know that it was bourbon. I couldn't tell.
Vodka.
Probably not, because it was Italy.
Rum!
So it's probably... I mean, it could have been rum,
pirates.
But...
Pirate ghost.
They're
ship.
Not pirates.
Fucking cares. Pirates of the Caribbean.
It's the Bering Sea. It's not... I mean, I guess they didn't start in the Bering Sea. I guess they started in, like, the Atlantic or something.
Hoist the cannons, bro.
What about scariness?
I would say at its peak, I'd probably give it a 4. It's because, like, at its peak, I'd give it a 4 because it does some stuff that's like, okay.
Yeah, I guess.
It's just so hard to agree with me.
Is still below half.
Yeah.
So it's still not that scary.
You know what else I was thinking about? If the bullets or the shell casings for the ammunition that was fired are inside of the pool, I don't mind. Why aren't they rusted? Because they're that old.
Well, no, they're not. I mean, some of them are, I guess.
They looked but clean also, enough to me. Like, they looked dirty, but they didn't look rusted.
That's something we totally forgot about. What about the, like, totally recently alive people in that hatch they open up?
Yeah.
Who are they?
Yeah, who are
other
they?
People that tried to salvage the ship? We never see their ghosts.
You know, I want to read the original script.
It seems like things are missing. Something's missing.
I want to see the footage that was edited from, because maybe there was more there, and our editor fucked it up. I'm trying, people. I'm trying.
Maybe. I mean, according to this, the original script was deliberately more psychological than gory, and there was almost no, like, gore or, like, literal violence in it.
Okay.
And then it was, like, rewritten, and by the time they were shooting it, they had turned it into this. But the cast had all agreed to do the movie based on the first version of it, and were supposedly fairly disappointed that the movie they made was not the movie that they had agreed to make. And so they thought they were making a better movie, and then they didn't.
Well,
by the time they were making it.
For the crew who agreed and were disappointed, I stand with you.
And maybe if it was rewritten a number of times, which it seems to have been, there are things that were left that there's no connection to anymore that were just there from an earlier version, and they're just still there. So maybe that, like, other crew, I don't know. I'll have to look around and see if I can find an actual, like, a real script. Because sometimes what you find that are labeled as scripts are really, like, people watched the movie and wrote it down as if it was a script, and because there's no access to the real one, and that's no good. So, because then, like, I saw the movie. It's not what I want. I'll have to look around. One critic described it as incoherent, which is fairly accurate, I think. It's messy for sure. If nothing else. Oh, and the woman who played Francesca is actually named Francesca. But she didn't sing the actual song. That was somebody else. Somebody else's voice.
Huh.
Hmm. That's what we have to say about Ghost Ship. We'll see you next time.
Later.
Death by water.
No.